But I couldn't wait. I've been waiting for weeks to preach this and teach this. And it is a secret to a thankful heart. And it is a struggle for a lot of believers, especially in America. America's finding it really hard to find contentment. And they have so much. How many know we have a lot? How many know we got too much? We've been blessed. Pastor, you've never been to my house. I don't have too much. You have more than you think you have. And that's why we're always looking for room, for closets. And we have to go through in the spring and clean them out. We have to do it again in the fall. Some of you do it during the summer and January and the winter too. We're cleaning out 24 hours a day to make room for the other stuff. And nothing's wrong with having blessings. Come on, shout amen. It's not a sin to be blessed. In fact, you ought to count your blessings. Name them one by one. The Bible is not against you being blessed. The Bible is trying to help us on this topic today to deal with a stable mind. Satan attacks the mind, and I just want to deal with it today for quickly. Paul writing, the Philippian church, writing from prison, he's saying, be contented. Learn how to be satisfied. Learn it. It's a great lesson. And he's writing it not from the penthouse, not from a luxury suite on the islands. He's writing it from a prison cell. He's writing it from experience. This man knows what it's like to have, and he knows what it's like to not have. Sometimes when we teach on contentment, we're talking all the time about, you know, you shouldn't have as much, you shouldn't have as much, you should be content with less. Listen, you got to learn contentment whether you have a lot or a little. And Paul said, I learned. And this is the text, and I wanted to go through it with you. He said, I'm glad. This is in the message, and sort of I wanted to put in plain language so you can walk out understanding very, very clearly. I'm glad in God. Anybody here glad in God? Hallelujah, there you are. I'm glad in God. Far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Paul is writing a thank you note to the church for blessing him when he had a need, okay? And he says in this, he said, not that I have a need right now, or you know, he said, not that you ever quit praying or thinking about me. He's saying, I appreciate you. You just didn't meet one need one time. You're always thinking about me. You're always praying for me. And you just had no chance to show it sometimes. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally right now, he said. Are you getting that? Right now, I don't need anything. How many can say right now you're blessed and you don't have that much of a need? Go ahead and give the Lord praise right now. You say, I don't have that big of a need. That's what we're shouting about. How many's been there where you did have a need? So when you have a little place there, a little room for a reprieve, you take it. But here's the lesson. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as I am with much. And with much as I am with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether I'm full or hungry. Hands full, hands empty. I'm still content. And he's saying that it's not a born natural tendency. In fact, the opposite is true. Has anybody ever seen a contented baby all the time? Babies never, they're always needing something. How many glad it's only just a year? Then their needs change and it goes into year two, terrible twos, toddler twos. The needs, and that's what babies do, they need. So who needs contentment? Parents! They need to keep their brain, their mind, because they're such a need. And we get that. That's what parenting's all about. So whether you have 10 kids or two, can you imagine the parents that had 10, 12 kids? I'm the baby of 11. That's what's wrong. See? Now y'all understand what happened to the last of the Mohicans. So Paul said, hey, I've had a lot and I've had nothing. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything because Christ who gives me the strength. He says it in this way, because of the one who makes me who I am. He said, I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It's a thank you note. Happy Thanksgiving. He's writing a note to him. It meant a lot. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. But don't think that I'm a needy person because I have Jesus. You understand? And just because today you might have a need, going through a trial or struggle, or whether you have plenty, you have to keep the same stable mindset, and gratitude and contentment is the secret to peace of mind. Amen? So what does the word content mean? It comes from two words that literally means self-contained, self-satisfied, biblically, because we don't believe in just self-containment. How many know it's God-containment? Right, that's what we believe. Biblically, meaning God is adequate, God's adequacy in his care for us. How many believe that God shall supply all your needs according to his glory in riches in glory by Christ Jesus? That's why we have contentment and peace. Because all the needs are met. Every need provided because God gives us the adequacy. And we have God inside. Therefore, we're not dependent upon any outside source for our contentment or our satisfaction. We have no need for drugs. We don't need alcohol. I don't need a hot toddy for the body. I mean, ever been in pain that you could wish you had a hot toddy for the body? Don't say it in church. It's ungodly. But some people actually drown out their sorrows with alcohol. They try to find peace of mind through drugs or marijuana or alcohol or substance. But can I just say it like this? Substance has no substance. It's just temporary fix. It's just a temporary high. It just gets you by for a little bit. How about material gain? I know people who have all they have and still no contentment. Still no peace of mind, right? They win the lottery, and they can't seem to find peace. Why? It only comes from Jesus Christ, who gives you the strength, power, position, prestige, fame, fortune. We have God's presence. We don't need all that. Come on, church. We don't need all that to have peace of mind or contentment. God's presence brings contentment. I mean, in his presence, there's peace beyond all measure and passes all understanding. There's power, there's peace, and the overruling providence of God. I know that my God is in control of my future. How many know he took care of your past? He's with you now, and he will take care of your future. It's God's providentiality. He is going to take care of it. It's his providence. And not only that, his provision. He's Jehovah Jireh. How many thank God he's always providing? Say, Pastor, why doesn't he ever provide for me? Well, maybe you don't have the mindset. You have to cultivate a contented mind that is only satisfied with Jesus. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. If anything or anyone or any position or any title or any money will buy away your attention and loyalty and love, Satan will be glad to pay the price. I told you all that about Naboth's vineyard, remember? You can't have my peace. You can't have my mind. You can't have my contentment. And you can't have this next generation. We preached that one. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Keep preaching, preacher. So, Pastor, how can we find this contentment? Well, you got to seek after Jesus. You just to seek contentment is what the world does. And most of the time, Americans, they want more, 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 more. And the more they get, the more they want. Thank you, Jim. I know the others wanted to say it too, but you just was with me. I love that about you. Second pew right there. I didn't even have to finish. You know, the longer you're with people, like Melissa and I have been married 42 years, and basically I don't even have to finish my statements. I will say, she says it. And she doesn't either. But she talks far more than I do. And I talk a lot. She said, that's not true. She listens to God far more than I do. I can tell you that. But I just want you to know, to master your mind, you have to deal. We dealt with all kinds of things. The enemy's attacking our minds today. And so this is a topical message. I know we have a text, and I gave you a text, but to seek contentment, it's not naturally born. Paul said, I had to learn how to be content in whatever state I was in. So he had this process of becoming and learning, and the opposite, the weapon, is discontent. So for you to understand what contentment is, you got to know what discontentment is. And so everything God gives as far as contentment, Satan disses. If God gives courage, Satan gives discouragement. If God gives contentment, Satan gives discontentment. Are you seeing? He's always fighting against it. So to understand it, we need to be understanding discontentment and how it can lead to disaster in your mind, in your heart, in your hope, in your future. And so Satan, in the beginning, became discontent with serving God as a leader in the heavens. He's a supreme created being, one of the three archangels, Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael, right? And he wanted more. And he wanted to usurp authority over God. And God said, not today, devil. And he even influenced a third of the angelic hosts to go and be kicked out of the heavenlies down to planet Earth. How many know it's real? And that's where arrogance and pride start. So discontentment starts in the area of pride. Whether you really acknowledge it or understand it or know it or whether you're ignorant of it, how many know the root of the issue is pride? Just like material gain, the root of the materials is nothing wrong with having money. It's when money has you, the love of money is the root of the evil. You understand? How you do with it, what you see. Is it a tool in your hands, or is it, keeping you from doing what God wanted you to do? So Satan wanted more than what God gave him, and therefore he led a rebellion and got kicked out. And since the day Satan got kicked out, he uses the same weapon against us. It's a trick. Even in the garden, he deceived Eve. Remember that? Hath God said, oh, God doesn't want you to eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, then you'll be smarter than God, and God's trying to withhold something from you. How many know the devil is a liar? He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He's trying to give you everything that he gave you, everything you wanted. But the nature of the beast is, I want what I can't have. I want what you said I can't have. That's why they got into trouble. How many know we should never be hanging around the wrong tree? You hang around the wrong tree, you'll get the results, bad tree, bad fruit. And so even today, thousands of years later, people still struggle with finding contentment. And we need a lesson in divine sovereignty is really what it is. In divine providence, divine provision, my Lord keeps everything for me. He keeps everything in check. David understood it. Said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no need of anything. Didn't he? 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I think we want. And I get it from a kid. The babies are watching. Every commercial comes on. And, I want that for Christmas, Poppy. I want that for Christmas, Poppy. You can't have everything for Christmas. But that's immaturity that comes from a child. And I think it's learned behavior. So be careful, because we don't have to have everything. Amen? And the human heart was born with a bent nature toward dissatisfaction. And the truth is, we'll never become satisfied until we find Jesus. So you got to beware of the dangers of discontent. And so the truth is, Satan tries to place a bitter spirit in the place of a thankful spirit. That's the bottom line. And if you're never grateful for what you have now, how can God ever trust you with more later? So to fight against the mindset of discontentment or an attitude of ingratitude, we need to learn the power of contented mind. So the discontented mind, some of the symptoms, you may not even know you have them. So let me share it with you. For the church that probably needs this, because Oak Grove, totally contented. Everybody here is so happy. But for the other people, right? Yeah, for the other people. So if you have discontented mindset, it makes you nitpicky, a spirit of complaining, can get on you, irritable, negative, depressive. Stop, Pastor, stop! No, I'm teasing. I'm going to keep going. Gives you an attitude of hopelessness, pessimism, distraction, disappointment, discouragement, and ultimately Satan's trying to destroy your peace because you can't never get enough. It's like you got holes in your pocket, and every time you put something in, it falls right through because you just never are satisfied. And the tagline usually goes along with it, you know, is I would be happy if only. If only I had a new spouse. Well, I'm single. I need a married person. I'd be happy if I was married. Okay. You do need counseling. Marriage is a war, people. I'm telling you from experience, 42 years, and I love her more than life. But every day is not a contented, happy day. Because we are two individual leaders and strong-willed leaders, and sometimes we don't agree. We've never had a fight, but you can hear us reasoning for about 3 blocks. Marriage is not what makes people happy. Or maybe you're married and say, I tell you what, I'd be married. I'd be single again. I'd be happy. Really? Really? I tell you what I need. I need money. Money is what I need. I need a new job. Tell you what I really need. I need a new church. What I need is a new pastor. What I need is a. Are you seeing that? Never satisfied with what God gave you. Do you know my lady is a gift from the Lord? And the Bible said when you get a wife, you get a precious thing, a good thing. It's probably not the spouse issue. It's probably a mindset. It's probably perspective. Marriage doesn't make couples happy. Jesus makes couples happy. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost. Single, married, whatever. Okay, if I was an American, okay, how come I've been around the world and I've seen some contented people in third world situations? They don't know they're poor. They don't know they're poor. Shh. Don't tell them. They're happy as can be. Well, how can it be, Pastor? If I was that poor, I'd be most miserable. Probably so, because it has nothing to do with money. It's misery, not money. And so lack of commitment or contentment suffocates your feelings. It suffocates your emotions and your expressions of gratitude. It sucks the life and the joy out of your mind. If you think everybody's always against you, you're never going to come out of the hole. Can I just tell you, Chicken Little, the sky is not going to fall today. It's okay. But if you develop a mindset that's always pessimistic, the number one problem in America seems that people always wish for more. And it can lead to anxious mind, unfulfilled heart and life. And here's what happens. Watch. You got to watch out what you're looking for. Watch out what you're looking for. If discontentment causes us to look horizontally at what other people have, therefore they can never be satisfied with what God gave them. I don't need another lady. God gave me my lady. Are you seeing that? Well, if I had a better church, I don't need another church. God gave me Oak Grove Assembly of God. Is she perfect? No. Is she beautiful? Yes. Does she love me? Thank you. I needed that. I was getting a little lonely. No, because see, if perfection was of the need of the day, none of us would be able to be content. How can imperfection demand perfection? How can imperfection demand perfection? How can imperfection demand perfection? Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? There's only one perfect one, and when you find him, you find peace of mind. You find contentment. He can meet every need. You can't go through your life looking for everything and everyone to meet your need. It's a bottomless pit. I mean, even the French fries at Red Robin have to stop sooner or later. So the tagline is, if only I had a new job, a new car, a new house, a new church, if only I was married, not single, it better looking. I can't get better than this, folks. I'm just trying to tell you some things you can't perfect. And I couldn't control it either. Well, if I had a head full of hair, really? Okay. just telling you, it's not really what makes me me. If I were only taller. I had a brother, my oldest brother, who wanted to go to the hop back in the early 70s. The hop? Anybody know what the hop is? Like the dance. And mom caught him in the closet. He was hanging from the pole in the closet. And mom said, Joe, what are you doing? He said, Mom, there's a girl at the dance and she's tall and I'm trying to stretch so I can dance with her. What was the problem? Joe was not content with his vertical problems, his lack of stature. And but you can't control all of that. If you live your life trying to keep up with the Joneses, listen, the Joneses are in debt. That's why you think the Joneses are happy. They're miserable. Check into the Joneses. So if you look horizontally, that's what you get. But contentment causes you to look vertically at the Lord. If you put your eyes upward and you'll see, then taste and see that the Lord is good and faithful and has provided every need in your life. He will always, always be faithful. David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. So you got to seek contentment. Then you got to speak it. Cultivate a mindset that says, hey, I have enough. I have enough. I don't need it. What about this? What about this holiday season? What if you said, man, I have enough. Push away from the table, not just about eating tonight. We all should push away a little bit. But I'm talking about if you are blessed and you have a lot, learn the power of giving. Next week, we have an opportunity to give to U.S. missions. Come ready. Well, see, Pastor, I am the mission. Somebody needs to give to me. Hey, well, listen. If you will give to God, how many know God will make sure you get it? Sow it and you will reap it. Don't sow it, you'll always need it. Somehow you got to change and reverse the situation. So whether you have plenty doesn't mean you're not here looking for contentment. Or whether you have nothing means you got to learn the power of contentment and learn to change the situation for your future. It's no different than trying to lose weight. I mean, I've tried that. Didn't work. Doesn't mean I don't try again. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You got to keep on striving to better. Complacency is the opposite. And I'll go to that in a few minutes, but you have to seek it. You have to speak it. And then you have to settle it. Number three, you have to settle it in your spirit. You can't just keep on striving and trying and then it fails and then you lose hope. Psalm 62:10 said, if riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Hey, if you get blessed, just shout praise God and maybe give it away a little bit. You'll find it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You'll find another level of joy that you can't even imagine. The secret of inward peace, it's an inward virtue, my friend. You got to look up. And it's our fallen nature Satan's trying to play against us. And Paul tells us in Philippians 4:11 that he has to learn contentment. He means that he has tasted the good things in life. He wasn't always in a bind. He wasn't always needy. He was self-contained in his ministry. And basically, he was bivocational. He was a tent maker. His parents were wealthy. They made tents. So Paul grew up in a very wealthy context. And so he went on and took the family business and did well. How many know it's okay to be blessed? It's okay to be blessed. So Paul knew what it was like. He ate fancy dinners, went to nice banquets. He had steak and potatoes, and he had it. He was there. And then he had nothing. In the ocean, floating for 3 days, beat with rods 3 times, with a whip 39 times, 3 times, 39 times. Left in the sea, left in perils of the darkness, hungry, naked, left in prison, dead. God brought him back to life. He knew what it was like to have and to not have. And he never allowed not having to overshadow when he had. And he never allowed having to overshadow when someone else didn't have. He learned the secret of contentment. Isn't it powerful? He never came satisfied with nothing except one thing. It's Philippians chapter 3. He said, not that I've already attained or that I know it all or have attained everything or received everything I'm ever going to receive. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the prize of the call of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, so I might know how to balance my life and have peace of mind, because I know that whether I have a nickel or $1 million, God is still my source. That'll preach in a Pentecostal church. And so let me give you just a couple of things we got to get out of here. It's not, listen, contentment is not an excuse to not grow up or mature. It's not an excuse to stay immature. God expects us to grow up. Amen? Immaturity creates lazy, apathetic cowards. You can't stay in that kind of place. That will ruin you. And it creates an appetite. If you don't have a desire to know Jesus more, and you always want, and Jesus can't even satisfy your soul, it's just a never-ending thing, and you'll become more self-absorbed, and you'll want more stuff and sin. In fact, Hebrews says, hey, lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets you. It's slowing you down, hindering your growth. You can't move forward with contentment and peace because you're always never enough. Pastor, I think you need to preach shorter. I think you need to be taller. I think you need to be closer. I think it needs to be lower. I think it needs to be hotter. I think it needs to be... Quit your belly aching. Who's going to satisfy you? Who is ever going to be able to satisfy you? Get a clue. The world don't revolve around you. So like when you walk through the door, everything's supposed to be the perfect temperature and the right everything, the atmosphere has to be all geared to you. Grow up. That'll preach in a Pentecostal church. Number two, contentment is not an excuse to remain in sin. Paul said, forget those things. You don't have to continue in that state of mind. There is a poverty mindset. You do know that, right? Some people get so caught up in a vicious cycle of poverty. This is my lot in life. I can't get beyond my poverty. Yes, you can. Some people call it work. So don't allow Satan to discourage your future, even if right now things are not so good. Paul said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. As unto the Lord and not unto men. You're not doing this for men. You don't go to church for me. You don't give an offering for us. It's for the Lord. And the Lord will surely repay you. Right? Your blessing doesn't come from men. If men have to meet your need or women have to meet your need, listen to me. If your needs have to be met by people, your needs are never going to be met. You have to go a little higher. I mean, no, Jesus can do it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So I learned the secret of contentment. I know how to be abased and how to abound. He's writing from prison. Wow. Not in comfort, but in contentment. I know what it is to have plenty and to have nothing. So what is it? It's humbly submitting to God's will at all times. So I'm not just going to be happy with Jesus when things are good and the bills are all paid and no diapers are never dirty and the dishes are never dirty and the house is never dirty and the church people are always doing good. I mean, no, we're in this thing for the long haul. It ain't a setup with every perfect little situation, and then I'll be happy. If that's so, you're going to be sad almost all your life. I just came to encourage you. This too shall pass. How many know if you're going through a bad season right now? How many believe God's got your future? Come on, how many believe God providentially can pull you out of a hole? He can and he will. But Satan will try to take advantage of your mindset so that you're never happy. Can I tell you to learn to get happy between your two ears right now on the way to your miracle? You don't wait till you get the miracle to be happy. You get happy right now. Contentment comes now. This too shall pass. I'll get out of this jail. But Paul says, if I don't get out of this jail, it was more than jail time for Paul. He was going to be beheaded. You understand? It's death time. Okay. Okay, this is it. This is it. So I'll be happy if I don't die. Oh, really? I'm going to be happy when I die. Are you waiting to get happy when you die? Can I tell you? You're missing a lot of opportunity to be happy right now. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I retire. How about retirement? Woo! No? Okay. I didn't get any. I didn't think so. Here's the deal. We have to learn how to be content in the will of God right now. Jesus was content in the will of God on the cross with all the pain, with all the shame, on the cross, because he was content doing the will of the Father. Paul was content doing the will of the Father. So if you don't kill me tomorrow, I'm going to preach Jesus tomorrow. If you kill me tomorrow, I'll be happy with Jesus. If you don't, I'll be happy preaching. See that made-up mind? Ooh, that's a made-up mind right there. You talk about contentment. What do you do with that guy? You can't kill him. Paul, if you preach in Jesus' name one more time, we're going to put you in jail again. Oh, would you please put me in the Philippian jail? I just about had the Philippian jailer won to Jesus. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to kill you. Oh, would you please? I was torn between the two, whether to go be with the Lord or whether to stay here and preach to Jesus. No. Somebody get rid of this guy. I mean, no, you can't kill a dead man. If you learn how to die to your own self, you'll be able to learn to live for Jesus. It's serious. It's a serious deal. Do what he tells you to do. Stay where he tells you to go. And listen, learn how to be satisfied. Be content in his will. He knows what's best. The Father knows what's best. Who knows what's best, you or him? I've had this conversation with myself. Hey, Ronnie, who knows what's best, Father God or you? Let me see. Let me see. I have a master's degree, Lord, so let me see. Don't let a master's degree keep you from the master. Okay? You're not that smart. So contentment is patiently dealing with things beyond my control. I can't control the weather. I can't even control the temperature in here. Honest to God, I'm not being upset. I try my best. I get here early in the morning. I turn on the heat. And sometimes these thermostats, they will on their own. Unless it's the devil. The devil could get in a thermostat. I know he does get into the sound. I know he gets in the van. I know the devil goes around. And I've had the air on in the office trying to cool things off, and it automatically, in the middle of August, turns to 75-degree heat. And I'm sweating in my office. I'm thinking, what in the carnations is going on in here? I go in there, and it's on heat. And I'll say to my precious staff, Who put it on heat? And no one says a word. It's the devil. I can't control it. I don't want to keep you and bore you, but you are having a good time, I can tell. I can't control other people. I can't control people. If I could, I would teach them how to drive on Glenstone. I would teach them how to come to a four-way stop and then understand that one goes and then the next one, and then you look and you see who came last. You stay last. You didn't come first. Why are you going first? You came to the stop sign last. Why are you going first? God, give me contentment right now before I lose it. I can't control it. I can't even control my attitude sometimes, but that's the only thing I can control, right? It's not what happens to me, it's how I respond to what's happening to me. So contentment is the grace to accept whatever blessing God provides for me. In fact, don't call it a blessing or a curse. Just say, the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. James says it best. He said, don't say I'm going to go to this city and I'll buy this and buy that, sell this and do that, buy this house. No, no, no. Just say, the will of the Lord be done. So whatever house you have, be happy. You get a new one, be happy with that one. But in America, we're so dissatisfied, we're always moving. If you can't stay anywhere for a year, you ought to check your contentment level. Truly. If you change jobs, it's about to get preachy. If you change jobs 5 times in the last year, you ought to check into contentment level. Now, I know God does different things, and he changes, and he transitions, but sooner or later, you got to learn how to get along with people and just be happy. So it's not your job that's the problem. It's not your job that's the problem. You might have learned how to get a mindset that says, you know what, I'm okay. I'm okay. I wish I was making more, but hey, I'm all right. You know how many opportunities we had to leave here in 23 years? A lot of them. But I told them, hey, nobody can put up with me the way Oak Grove puts up with me. Same thing with Melissa. Same thing with my kids so far. And my grandkids are young and don't know me yet. They still have hope to run. It's a learned behavior. And it's never dependent on your circumstances. Our nation is discontented. We see it in the high rate of consumer debt. And people refuse to live within their means, so they suffer anxiety from the pressure of the debt. And I don't care how awesome the commercial makes it look, don't take the bait. Oh, but wait, there's more. Oh, really? It's another trinket. It's going to break in 3 days. Don't go for it. I need that. So don't do it. Don't do that. It's a nation that's crazy about it. And we see it in people that can't stay put. I told you that. Better house, better land, better job, better church. And when I find the right thing, I'll be happy. Well, not so. The right thing is Jesus. Quit spending money you don't have on things you can't afford. Contentment is a state of being, not doing. It's amazing how content they are in places where they have nothing. So being content is not tied to activity. Settle down a little bit. How can I get this, Pastor? Well, I told you 3 ways, and we're going to go. But I just want to touch as they come back. I want to touch how it affects us. Come on back. I want to tell you how it affects us personally. Physically, discontent can have a play on your brain. You may never get that beach body. I have been searching for the beach body for 61 years, and I still go to the beach, but I don't have the beach body. But I think it's overrated. But just because I don't have the beach body doesn't mean I can't try to eat better. Just because I may not have a physique that's all buff and stuff doesn't mean I can't rest better, sleep better, eat better, exercise. You see how I can do something about it? I don't have to have the beach body. And everybody shouted, you can do better, you can change, but you don't have to strive and shoot yourself up with steroids. Because I think steroids will blow your mind in more ways than one. I've seen young men get all buff only to end up with nobody. It's not a chick magnet. It's a chick loser. And then you lost your mind in the process. You can't even think because I'm a manly man. I can't even feel my arms. Emotionally, you may never get the beach body, but listen, emotionally, you got to deal with this. So stressed out. Emotions are so stressed out. Your work bills and dirty everything. And we get so tight and uptight. It causes us to be stressed. You don't have to. I said you don't have to be stressed at all. Materially, fear comes when we never move on up to the east side, to the deluxe apartment in the sky, till we finally get a piece of the pie. Well, I hit that note, Chrissy. I think that's pretty awesome. I want to be in the choir. Let God provide for you. Let God provide for you. Quit chasing dreams that you can't have and things you can't have. And spiritually filled with guilt for not being satisfied. So if we're discontented today, we're filled with guilt spiritually because we're discontented. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. I'm done preaching. Anybody learn anything today? I hope you did. Point is this. Contendency doesn't mean complacency. That's the whole point. I appreciate where I am on the way to where I'm going. We just keep pushing along. Would you stand with me? Complacency is stagnancy. It shuts off the future opportunity for a better future. It believes you've reached your peak and see no need for further effort. And that mindset leads to lazy stagnation as people become comfortable with mediocrity and resistance to change and a false sense of security. It's not going to work. So we have to set new goals, endure lifelong learning, embrace lifelong learning, celebrate progress in making moves forward, stay humble, stay grounded, surround yourself with people who can help you stay.